yet. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is Naf Nun Hey. We're starting from the Mishnah, almost halfway down the Amud, about a third down the Amud. Zok the Mishnah. V'chachamim oimrim v'Yehuda hayu oisin malacha b'arvei psachin ad chatzois uv'galil loy hayu oisin kol ikr. We're really going back to the beginning of our parak, because in the beginning of parak we already spoke about the fact that there were two minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Nobody did malacha after chatzois. After Chatzos is considered to be already Ashtikl Yomtiv, especially in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, where everybody was rushing to go and bring their Karban Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash. But before Chatzos, that already that was dependent on the local minhag. Some places they did do malacha, some places they were makbid not to do malacha. That was the first Mishnah in our Perek, and subsequently we got off a little bit on a tangent talking about minhagim related to other matters, such as, for instance, selling a behemah daka, or, for instance, that is to goyim, or, for instance, about doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, and so on and so forth. But now we're returning to our roots, so to speak. We're talking once again about the inyan of the minhagim on Erev Pesach. So the Tanakhama begins with Chachamim Oimrim, B'Yehuda Yo'isin Malachim Arvei Pesachim Ad Chatzois. The minhag in Yehuda was that they did do malacha until Chatzois. U'B'Galil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, what we call today the Galil, Lo'iho Yo'isin Kalikr, they didn't do any malacha at all. In other words, those are the two minhagim that we had at the outset of the parak. But now the Mishnah adds Halayla, what about the night before? In other words, Orlar Ba'asar. You finished doing the Bedikas Chametz. Are you allowed to do Malacha now? Beishamei Oisrin, Ubeisil Matirin Ad HaNetzachama. Their Machloikas apparently would only apply to the Galil, because after all, in Yehuda they kept on doing Malacha until Chatzos. So therefore the Machloikas is in Galil, where they stopped doing Malacha already in the morning. Did they also stop doing malacha already the night before, at the time of Bedikas Chametz? I'm giving Bedikas Chametz as an example. In other words, after Shkia on Oir La'arba Asar, according to Beis Shammai, that's it. No more malacha. This is a 24-hour no doing malacha. It doesn't start in the morning, it already starts at night. Beisil Matim Ad Netzacham, and Beisil said, no, you can continue doing malacha even in the Galil until Netz. From the Netz and on, you already have the minig not to do malacha. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah on the surface, is very difficult to understand, because the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about minhagim. There was a minig in Yehuda that people did go to work, did do malacha. The minig, however, in the Galil was they did not do malacha. Okay, fine. This is not the first time that we have different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Some people daven Ashkenaz, and some people daven Svard, and some Nusachari, etc., etc. But what is perplexing is that the Mishnah continues on. What about the night before? Bishami Oisrim, it's a lashon of Isur, and Beisil Matirin. You would think that it would say Halayla Bishami Oimer, Bishami Oimrim, that the minig in Galil was already the night before not to do malacha. Kvar noagu mi balayla. But not to say Oisrim, is an Isur. It's a minog to go and take the minig of the morning and say, yeah, but at night, it's really awesome. That is ironic, if not perplexing. And that's Imor's kasha. Frank Imor may call it Tanam and Hagel. We start off the Mishnah saying, two customs, okay. Continues the Mishnah. For the Soifton Isur, that it's an Isur. Isur sounds like it's Isur Durabon. It's not just a minig. Have a minig. You don't have a minig. You move somewhere else. Chumri Amokam Shiyotzimisham. Chumri Amokam Shebolisham. He went to an Isur according to Beishamai. Does that sound right? Amr Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, you have a very good point, and we don't even realize it, but loy kasha, haramei harab Yehuda, that the ratio of the Mishnah and the seif of the Mishnah are in fact two separate mandiyamrim, remei and Rabbi Yehuda. Who's remei Rabbi Yehuda? The sign we learned in the Braisa. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, bi Yehuda, hayu oisin malacha bi arvei psachim ad chatzois. Like we had our Mishnah. Ube golil einan oisin kolikar. Again, just like we had in our Mishnah. Two separate minhagim. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda could easily be the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Amalei Remeis, Remeis says, Maraya, Yehuda v'Golul Rekan. After all, we're trying to develop what is the halacha, or what is the minig by Klal Yisrael. Why are you telling me about Yehud and Galil? That really is irrelevant, because every town and every city has their own minhagim. So you're going to tell me, what minig should we hold here in New York? Well, the Yehud have this minig, and Galil have that minig. Mazel tov. I want to know what the minig is over here. So, says Remeir, well, why are you even talking about the minhagim? Ella, rather, just talk in broader terms. Mokim shenoag v'lasa malacha oisin. Mokim shenoag v'shaloi lasa oisin. Ein oisin, says Remeir. Don't talk about Yehuda. Don't talk about Golil. Don't talk about New York. Don't talk about any city. Just talk in generic terms. There are makoimis where they took upon themselves the minig not to work. And there are makoimis that they did not take upon themselves that minig. And that's the end of the braisa. And the Gemara is now midayik. Minik Amr Remeir Minhaga. Since Remeir keeps on pushing this Minhag. Rabbi Yehuda, why are you telling me what's going on in Yehuda and Galil? That's really irrelevant. The Ikar is, what's the Minig Amokim in every single place? What's the Minig? Bechlal, Rabbi Yehuda Isurak Amar. Apparently, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us it's not just a Minhag. In Yehuda, they paskind ba'alocha, in their Shulchan Aruch, so to speak, they said, you're allowed to do malacha. While in the Galil, they follow the views of their Rebbeim and their Rabbanim and their Poskim, and they don't do malacha. But it's not because of Minhagim, it's because of Isur. And therefore, says our Gemara, that the machloikis between, or not the machloikis, but the difference in Loshan between the Reish and the Seif of our Mishnah, is really hiding a machloikis between Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. That the Tanakhama that says minag, that's really Remeir, which is not startling, because we know Stam Mishnah is Remeir, so the Chamir is Remeir. And Remeir says, I want you to know it's minag. While Rabbi Yehuda says, Halayil, I want you to know, no, this is not just minag, we're talking about really Surim, that in each one of these places, whether it happens to be in the Galil or in Yehuda, they paskind whether it's mutter or it's aser. And in fact, in Galil, where they did not do malacha, it wasn't just a minog, but oisrim. They hold that it's aser to do malacha. And you're not just violating a local custom, you're violating Shulchan Aruch. Veisel matin ara netzacham. So that's how the Gemara comes out explaining our Mishnah. But fake the Gemara yet. The first of the wide lines, at the end of the line, Mechlal Rabbi Yehuda Isura Ka'amar, Kum Techois, based on the way you've just interpreted the Mishnah, and based on we just learned this price, so you're saying Rabbi Yehuda says, less or that it's Osir. Frey Tabor Vesav Rabbi Yehuda, Abba Osir, Mutter Basias Malacha, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that, Abba Osir, you're allowed to do Malacha. How do we know? Batanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, HaMenachish B'Shloisha Osir, the Nekra B'Yodoy, Shloisla, the Mokim Hatit, Bein Shloisla Mimokim Hagrid. What is this all about? We know that there's a halacha of Chodosh. Chodosh means all of the new tevua and all of the new grain and all of the new flour. You only have the heter to go and use it and eat from it and consume it, etc. Only after the bringing of the Korban Oimer on the first day of Chol HaMoed of Yom Tov of Pesach. Okay? Anything which is already cut, already harvested, you cannot eat, and you have to wait until the Korban HaOmer is brought. Not only that, what happens if you have some grain which is still in the ground, and you haven't harvested yet? As long as it's mushrush, as long as it's rooted in the ground, that Korban HaOmer is brought, it is matter everything. So even that tvua, even if you're only going to harvest it a month later, even 3 months later, makes no difference. It already has the heter of the Korban HaOmer that was brought on Pesach. What happens, however, if you put in seeds in the ground a day or two before the Korban HaOmer, the marshal, on Erev Yom Tov, guess what? It won't have enough time to be mushrush, to be rooted in the ground, and therefore the Korban HaOmer is not going to help. It's as if those seeds are still in the seed bag, and they haven't been seeded in the ground, because they're not mushrush yet. And you won't be able to have anoah from that grain until another year passes. Next year, Pesach, next year, the Korban HaOmer. Okay, so obviously all the farmers and all the planters were aware of this, and they made sure if they're planting any new seeds to plant it a few days before, not to get into this problem. Now, what is the minimum amount of time that the Chacham said you need for seeds to become rooted in the ground? It's a 3-day business. 3 days. As we'll see in the Gemara, it doesn't have to be 3 amos less, 72 hours, as long as it's most of 3 days. The Gemara is going to explain it shortly. Okay. So says Rabbi Yehuda, HaMenachish B'Shloisha Asa. A person is doing Nichush. Nichush means to remove weeds. He's weeding in his field to get the weeds out. And he did such a good job that in addition to some of the weeds, the Nekrabiyodle, he also pulled out some of the Tvua together with it, which is not that surprising because the weeds grow very, very closely with the other crops, and that's the reason why people have to pull out the weeds, because the weeds go and kill the crops. So as he's pulling out the crop, as he's pulling out some of the weeds, some of the crops came along with it. Okay, so what should he do? Now the crops that we're talking about are not bananas and not potatoes. We're talking specifically about grain. And he wants to have the heter of being able to use this grain in a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, not a year from now, but in the near future. Doesn't want to have to wait until next year's carbon oimer. So what does he have to do? Shoisla, quickly, replant it in the ground, because unfortunately it's been uprooted. Plant it back in the ground. The mokim hatit. The mokim hatit means in a muddy type of earth where it's moist, and therefore the roots will more quickly come out and blossom and come into the ground. But don't go and replant it in a karka yovesh, where it's nice and dry, because then the seeds won't have a chance to sprout. It's not just the seeds, but the bottoms of the tvua that was uprooted, which you want them to become rooted into the ground once again. They won't have a chance to root so quickly because it's karka yovish. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So now let's go and figure out the cheshbonus over here. B'shloisha aser in. Notice Rabbi Yehuda says you can be menachish on shloisha aser. Why did they say you can be menachish on arba aser? On erev yont. B'shloisha aser in. Barba aser loy. So mechti shemina le Rabbi Yehuda diomer kol harkovish eina kaletis of shloisha yomim shub eina kaletis. We see Rabbi Yehuda holds that the din of the klita, that means the rooting of the crops, the rooting of the grain, is a 3-day process. If it doesn't, eina kaletis of shloisha yomim, if it didn't get rooted within 3 days, it's not going to happen. In other words, these seeds are duds because it's a 3-day process. Okay. If you hold according to Rabbi Yehuda that Arba Asr is Mutabasiyas Malacha, now where do we find Rabbi Yehuda holds that Arba Asr Mutabasiyas Malacha? Because remember, the way the Gemara is learning our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there is a machloikis not in Minhagim, but a machloikis in Halacha, that in the Galil loy oisin kol iker, but in Yehuda hoyu oisin Malacha bi arve psachim, they did do Malacha in Yehuda, and it was mutalach, not just a minhag. That was halacha l'maisa. They did do malach. So now, the Gemara is assuming that this brisa we just learned now, that talked about Rabbi Yehuda saying, HaMenachik, Shloisha Aser, is talking in Yehuda. And if he's talking in Yehuda, we just concluded that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda, you're mutter to do basiyas malacha on the 14th. It's a freight thing, Mara. We saw Kadaitach, Arba Aser, Mutter Basiyas Malacha. Lom Alish Loisha Aser. Why do we have to go and talk about a person who's weeding on day 13, which is the day before Erev Paisach? V'ikar Arbeiser, V'chameiser, U'miktsas Shitzer. You'd be able to go and have that same rooting if he is doing the plowing and planting back of the grain into the ground on the 14th on Erev Pesach, because then you have our bases 1 day. Chames is the first day of Yom Tov, is 2 days. Umikta Shitzer is already the 3rd day, and the Gemara assumes that that is sufficient according to Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't do it on the 14th, do it on the 13th, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds that even in Yehuda, it's also to do Malacha on the 14th of Nisan. The Gansa Kasha really has no premise. The whole premise of the Kasha was we're assuming we're talking Yehuda. No, we're talking Ben Galil. And since we're talking about the Galil, we already said in the Mishnah, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, that it's not just a custom, but it's an Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach in Galil. So therefore, if you want to go and replant your grain, make sure to do it on the 13th. If you want to prune, do it on the 13th. Don't do it on the 14th. Why did we have to say, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if we're talking in the Galil, why do we say be menachish on the 13th? You can do nichush or la arba asar the night of bedikas chametz. Do it on that night. After all, in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel says matina netzachava. So why did he have to paskin do it on the 13th? Give more time. You can still do the nichush that night and still root your grain so that it will be mutter with the carbon oil. This braisa that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching, he's learning like Beis Shammai. A bit of a doichik pshat, a little bit remote, but that's what the Gemara is learning, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if you hold according to Beis Shammai, you still have an eitzah, do the nichush on Yud Gimel, do the replanting on Yud Gimel, and then you'll have your 3 days, you'll have your Dalet, your Tezvov, and your Tezai. Much easier to go and say like Beisil. So why did he say go and do your nichish on the 13th? He can do it even or larbos. The farmers at night they go to sleep or they go to a daf, but they're not going to go and be busy in their fields. After all, they didn't have electric lights like we have today.
Or they're busy looking for chametz.
Or busy looking for chametz, exactly. So the point is, they don't normally do nichush at night. So you're going to do it during the day when you can go and... But what's the whole Indian of nichush? Nichush, you want to go and see the bad weeds. The weeds look fairly close and fairly similar to the grain, because otherwise people would easily identify them and remove them. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu made such a barrier called these weeds that cause a lot of trouble. So you do it during the day when it's easily recognizable which are the weeds and you pull them out. So that's why he said on Yom Yud Gimel, but it's really practical mechanics as opposed to halachic considerations. Really, you would be able to do it at night, but normally people do nichush during the day. Ravina Amal Olam Yehuda. Ravina says you don't have to say that we're talking about the Galil. We could even be talking about Yehuda. Aye, didn't you say in Yehuda that it's mutter to do malacha on the 14th? Mm-hmm. Even according to Yehuda, you're allowed to do malacha even in the morning of the 14th. So why do you say the nichush has to be made on day 13? Do the nichush on day 14. And if you accidentally pull something out, replant it. What's the problem? Very simple text. What was the kasha of the Gemara? The kasha of the Gemara was, I don't understand the contribute to why you have to menachesh shloisha aser. If it's in Yehuda, be menachesh on arbo aser. And then I'll have the benefit of arbo aser is 1 day. Tes vav is 2 days. Tes zayin, abyssal tes zayin is 3 days. So I have mixasiyem kekula, I got 2.5 days. So well, one second, you don't have 2.5 days because you're only starting sometime in the morning of the 14th. So if you go, the rest of the 14th is only Mikta Sayoy. You have Taka, the first day of Yontif is Agan Zitok, but not on Erev Yontif, and certainly not the first day of Chalamay. So therefore you have 2 Mikta Sayoyim Skikulay. Says the Gemara, you keep them in Starif. 1 Mikta Sayoyim Skikulay to 2 full days, but 2 Mikta Sayoyim Skikulay to 1 full day, that everybody would agree that's not 3 days for purposes of Hashrasha.
Because it's a mitzios, you know, it takes time for the thing to take root. It's not a matter of like a veilus, what we say, it's just like a kakulo.
Absolutely, what you're saying is correct. But I assume what the Gemara is also throwing in, that once the Chacham determined that it's a 3 day process, and the mitzvah kakuloi, you don't have to check each time and pull out and see, did it get rooted, don't get rooted. That's a really light plug, that's the halacha, those are the rules and regulations. So I don't have to go and inspect it. That would be Kabbalah, that's how they know. They spoke to the farmers, they did their own due diligence, they came up with that rule. So once they come up with the rule, generally all rules there are, you have this mixtium kakul like avelus like you just said. So Solkadai to Chamina, maybe that things we should apply over here. Says Imara, very, very good. If you have 2 plus 1, yeah, mixtium kakulai does the trick. But 1 plus 2 does that doesn't work. Talking more about it. Shkoyach. Remeir Oyman. Dr. Nayan Mishnah Remeir Oymer Kol Malacha Shehischul Ba Koidim Larba Asar Goyim Rabbi Arba Asar. What happens if you have a craftsman who started off the malacha already a couple of days before, or a day before, but before Arba Asar. Can you complete it on Arba Asar, yes or no? The Mishnah is going to give a few examples towards the end. The Chacham are going to talk about the Chayot and the tailors and the Saparim and those that give haircuts, and Koifsim, those that do laundry, and Ratzanim, those that are shoemakers, all different types of craftsmen. And the question is, if they started their malacha before Yud Gimel, can they complete it on Arba Asar? So says Rameh, Kol malacha shehischu b'koidim l'Arba Asar, if he started it already on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, and now it's just a question of ending it, goyim b'Arba Asar, he'll have to finish Arba Asar, even in those mekoymois where they didn't do malacha on Erev Pesach. For instance, we said that in the Galil, they didn't go and do any malacha on the 14th, but if they're just finishing off the finishing details, finishing touch, the makiv patish, that they're allowed to go and do barbasa. Going barbasa. Avlo yasuba betchil barbasa, but don't start anything fresh in arbasa. Even if it happens to be a relatively small thing, no, you cannot start anything new on arbasa, even though you can finish it quickly within half an hour, 2 hours. No. Don't begin. You can only be goyim. And we're going to talk more about that as we get into the Gemara. When it comes to three particular professions, three particular crafts, the Chachamim did allow for you to do malach and Erev Pesach at Chatzos, even in those mekoymos where the minhag was not to do malach. Why are these three special? Mi'atzishem will see on the Amud Beis. What are those three that we talk about? Hachayotim, the tailors, Vasaparim, and those giving haircuts. Vakoyfsin, and those, the launderers. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Aymer, Afratzon, and all to the shoemakers. Why, again, these three or four? Mi'atzishem will see on the Amud Beis. Sorry, once again?
It's obvious.
Why is it obvious?
Because they need it for the time.
That, you're the Yishakoyach, Brother Shai, you've paved the way to the beginning of the Gemara. Iboilo. We started off the Mishnah. The Meir says that you can go and finish something off in Arba Asar. Iboilo le tzirech hamoyed tanan. Avishaloi le tzirech hamoyed afil migmar namiloi. Oidilma shaloi le tzirech hamoyed tanan. Av le tzirech eschul maschalina. So the Gemara is asking the following Shaila. Not that we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that you're allowed to finish, but don't start. Are we talking about a malacha that you need for Yontif? Or are we talking about a malacha that was not necessary for Yontif? For instance, you had given a material to the tailor to go make you a new, warm, heavy winter coat. But you don't need that for Pesach. Pesach, Baruch Hashem, was very nice and warm. So he could have finished it after Yontif. There's no real need for it now. But however, he already began it on Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, and he only needs another hour's worth on Yud Dalet, so he's prepared to finish it off on Yud Dalet in the morning, and then go and give it to the person that asked him to go and make the coat for him, and he'll be so happy, oh, beautiful new coat, even though he's not going to wear it for the next 6 months, but it makes no difference. Can he do it or not? So that's Yimor Shad. Yiboy le tzayre chamoyed tanan. Only those things that you need for Yomtiv. Avshaloy tzayre chamoyed afil le migma namin loy. Don't even complete something, even though you're just finishing it. 80%, 90% of the work has already been done before. If it's shloy tzayre chamoyed, don't even think about trying to finish it today. Oidim, or perhaps shloy tzayre chamoyed tanan. Our Mishnah is really referring to those things which are really not key, not essential for Yomtiv. And therefore it says you can only finish it. If you need it for Yontif, you can begin it and you can finish it all in Erev. I need it so badly. This shirt should be washed. I need these pants should be pressed. I can't believe it. I only have one set of pants. You got to do it. You're allowed to even begin it. So that's two tzedakah. But now we even have a third tzad. Oidilma, maybe there's a loy plug. It really doesn't make a difference. Make more in a schuli loy. Bottom line is, don't start anything fresh. Don't start anything new. You can go and complete something, but don't start something new. Makes a difference. Istoshima. Let's try to be partial. The Gemara is going to bring two or three rayas, and the first two, the Gemara is going to be doicha, and we're going to stay at the end with the third raya. Istoshima, we have a brisa. Avalo yaschel betchilo be'arba asar. Oh, like it says in our Mishnah. You're allowed to be goymer, but don't start anything fresh in arba asar. Afilu tziltzil katon. afilu svacha katana, a tzilzel cotton, Rashi says, in Yiddish, abendala, lachkor. Yes, a small belt, maybe even a belt for a finger like a ring, a small little bendala, nothing major. But afilu svacha katana, says Rashi, al roish, this is a tichel, like the women wear, to cover their hair. So these are relatively small ticket items. Says the bride, no, don't start anything. Your finishing is okay, but to start something, no, no. So now, why does the bride use the term afilu tzilzokan? Afilu svachita, my afilu, lav afilu hani de letzorech hamoyed. Even these items, the tzilzokan and svachitana, where the people needed it for Yontif, the woman needed this new tichel, or they needed a new bendela for whatever purpose, so he needed tzirchamayit, and nevertheless, the price is very clear, migmar in is chuliloi. You're only allowed to finish, because the price says, avalo yaschil, don't start. So, but you're allowed to finish. So you're allowed to finish, but you can't start. Mechlal, and therefore we're talking devorim which are the tzorech hamoyed, mechlal the shaloi letzorech, then migman namad gamrina, and you can't even go and finish them because I don't need a free yomtiv. And therefore I can be poishit my shaila like the first tzad. Letzorech hamoyed, you can finish. Shaloi letzorech hamoyed, you cannot finish.
And certainly not start.
And certainly not start. So tomorrow light. Really, you don't have a raya from this price. We owe them the shaloi letzorech migman nami gamrinan. So kon zayin, like the third sad, they're both letzorech and shaloi letzorech. You can be goymer on erev yantav. What's this? Afilu tzilzul kon? Afilu svachiktana? My afilu hani nami dezutinenu. These are very small ticket items. Presumably a craftsman can go and do a tzilzul cotton in 15 minutes, a svach ktana in half an hour. Goes very, very quickly. So, before you turn around, he's already finished with it. You come and you order, I need a new bendel cotton. Okay, stand there for a couple of minutes, I'll be right back. He goes to the back, and 5 minutes later he comes and says, now you have a bendel cotton. So I would think, and therefore, this is not what the Mishnah meant when it said, don't start anything new, only finish it. Because the beginning and the finishing are almost simultaneous. The whole difference is a few minutes is agonish. So I would have thought that it's mutter, kamash malam, that even such small ticket items are also prohibited to begin letzorech hamoyed, but you're allowed to finish them. But we have no real raya whether we're distinguishing between letzorech hamoyed, loy letzorech hamoyed, that the afilus are not coming to tell us a distinction between letzorech or shaloi letzorech. The afilus are coming to tell us a difference between the haschola and the gemar, that in those cases they're both more or less concurrent or simultaneous. So therefore, since we don't have right, let's try to bring another right. Toshima, Reb Meir, any malacha that you need for the moyed, he's very clear. These words, he letzorech amoyed, very clearly, goyim rabarba osar. You can go and finish them off on the 14th. Because you started it on the 13th. Don't start afilu the tzilzul katan afilu the svachik tan. Aha. Okay, so now this price started off very clearly. Letzorech hamoyed in shaloi letzorech hamoyed loy. So you see from this that we can be poishet our shayla like the first tzad, that you're allowed to be goymer is only letzorech hamoyed. Shaloi letzorech hamoyed, you're not allowed to end, and you're certainly not allowed to begin. But you want to know, nishkarai, who had the nefilish shaloi letzorech nami gamrin. Really, it's across the board, both letzorech and shaloi letzorech. Vakamashma, feel letzorech hamoyed. Even though I need this bendel, I need this tichel, letzorech yontif, migmer in is chuli loy. Nevertheless, that's the chiddush of Reb Meir. You can only be gomer, but you cannot be maschil. So even though he started off saying komalocha shehi letzorech hamoyed, that's just to go and dramatize this halacha. That even I need a tzorech hamoyed, and even though it's a kleinigkeit that the bendel kuden, the tzilzul katan svach, nevertheless, you can only be gomer, you cannot be maschil. But the same thing applies also shalei letzorech hamoyed nishkarai. It's Toshima, but now we have a real raya where the price is very, very direct. If you started it, you can be goymer. If you started it before, you can be goymer arbasa. That's if it was the tzorech hamoed. B'she'ein l'tzorech hamoed, asur, you're not allowed to be goymer. So before we continue on, we already have the answer to our question, that this is the first tzad of the three tzad iboya, that the Mishnah permits you to go and be goymer is only the tzorech hamoed. But shaloi the tzorech hamoed, you're not allowed to even be goymer. But the Brisa continues on. V'oisim alochem arvi psochem ad chatzois, the mokem shenoagu, in those places where they were knowing to go and do malacha, gizuntait. Mokem shenoagu in, loy noagu loy. But only those mokems where they had the minute, yes. But if they were not knowing, then you could not. But anyway, but getting back to the beginning of the Brisa, shema mina, l'tzerich hamoed, inch loy, l'tzerich hamoed, loy, shema mina, that the whole heter of being goymer on yudalit is only those things where it was started already from before, and that you need it l'tzerich hamoed. But the Chachamim say Sholish Umniyos are permitted, like we have the Mishnah, the Chayotim, and the Saporim, and the Koifsin, the Yesh Oimrim, even the Ratzon. So Gemara tells us now, Tana HaChayotim Shekin Hedyot Toife Kedarki B'Cholish Sholim Moyed HaSaporim V'Koifsin Shekin Abba Medina Seyam Ayyot V'Sesurim Mesaprim V'Chabsim B'Cholish Sholim Moyed. What does Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is that just like Yudalid is a semi-yontif, Chol HaMoed in a sense is also a semi-yontif. Chol HaMoed of course is yontif, you have to eat matzah, osir b'pesach, osir b'chametz. But we're talking now about Hilchos Melocha. And everybody knows that Chol HaMoed is of course much more lenient than the rest of yontif. Because on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do Melocha, which is Meleches Dover Ha'oved, things which are money. That you're allowed to go and do if you're going to have a loss in funds, a loss in business, you're allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. Okay, so says our Gemara, besides Meleches Dover Oved, there are other things that you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed, but metashinoi, or under extenuating circumstances. And therefore, if I can find a Hechatimtza, that at least somebody in Klal Yisrael, probably not one individual, but some Yechidim in Klal Yisrael are allowed to go and do Melacha under certain circumstances in the Chol HaMoed, that's enough that you should be able to go and do this Melacha for all of Klal Yisrael on Erev Pesach. Because Erev Pesach is much lighter than Chol HaMoed. After all, Chol HaMoed is part of the Moed. Erev Pesach is pre-Moed. So even though there are minhagim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's even an issur in certain places to go and do malacha, but it still doesn't rise to the level of Chol HaMoed. And therefore, says the Brisa, HaChayotin, you know why a professional tailor is allowed to go and do malacha on Erev Yontif? Shekein Hedyoy, because an amateur, like a housewife that also does knitting and does stitching up and stuff, Shekein Hedyoy, Toifei Kedarki B'Cholish HaMoed. Since they are allowed to go and do those tfirois on Chol HaMoed and Kedarkoi, in other words, you don't have to make shinuyim up and down and big stitching and small stitching, you mean Toifei Kedarkoi. So therefore, we find that the hedjit has a heter on Chol HaMoed, so we now allow for a heter with a chayotin on Erev Yontif. And similarly, Hasaporim Vakoivsin, talking about a barber or someone that does the laundry. If someone has extenuating circumstances, he just arrived from Dina Seyam, he was on the high seas for the last 3 months, and he finally arrives, and now it's Chol HaMoed. Or Yoytze Meis Sesurim, a person never was in jail, and he just came out. Regular, the rank and file of Klal Yisrael cannot do an Chol HaMoed, but these people can. Oh, since there are Yechidim that have the heter to go and do it under these circumstances on Chol HaMoed, so Memeila, Erev Yontif, which is one step lower in terms of its Isser Malacha, you can go and do it for everybody, the Saparim and the Kaisim. Even the shoemakers, all the people that came Oyle Regel, a lot of them had to come by foot, at least part of the journey was on foot. They didn't come in supersonic jets, etc. So that being the case, many of them had to go and repair their minalayim, their shoes in Chol HaMoed. Ah, since there's a heter to go and repair shoes in Chol HaMoed, and maybe there's a heter for Gan Klal Yisrael to go and do meleches ratzonim, shoemaking on Erev Yontif. Now it sounds like a nice parallel, the ratzonim, to the case of the chayotim, the saparim, and the koifsim. That what? that there are a minority of the people require these special services of Chol HaMoed, and they're permissible. So therefore, everybody is entitled to these services and to do this type of malacha on Erev Yantav. So my committee, why doesn't the Tanakhama learn like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Because Marisav al Maiden Tchilas Malacha Misoif Malacha. Or Marisav al Maiden Tchilas Malacha Misoif Malacha. What does the Gemara mean to say? When it comes to shoemaking, there are really two different professions. They are the shoemaker manufacturers, the real shoemakers, those that make the shoes. And then you have the shoe repairman. Ah, so what happens now? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, since you can do repairs on Chol HaMoed, therefore you can go and make brand new shoes on Erev Yontif. Now that's a little bit of a stretch, because here we're talking about from repairing to making shoes. So the Gemara, Mar Sabar Lemeidin Tchilas Malacha Misayif Malacha. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, a shoemaker, whichever way you want to call it, and therefore if he's allowed to, under extenuating circumstances, that people have repairs that they need for the Menalayim on Chol HaMoed. So they're allowed to go and even start brand new shoes on Erev Yontif. Umar Savar, no. How can you compare? These are two different professions. These are the repairmen, and these are the guys that are manufacturing. So you cannot go and bring a raya from the fact, oh, since there are repairmen that can repair, Mela on Erev Yontif, you can go and manufacture shoes. As we invite Shanish, we won't go to that stretch. Okay, on to the next mission. We're continuing to talk about malachas that are mutter or aser on Erev Yontif. You're allowed to go and be moshivin shoivchin. Shoivchin are usually called dovecots, or in this case it's a chicken coop, because we're taking the tiny goylim. And in particular we're going to see, we're talking about the hens, that you're allowed to be moshiv the hens on their eggs on Erev Yontif, so that the eggs should warm up, become incubated, and eventually turn into little chicks. They'll hatch into chicks. Oh. So Moshiva Shevchim Tanagoy, you'll have to do that, but you don't. The Tanagoy, the Shebarucha, what happens to the Tanagoy that's made a plate? It ran away. Machzir and Oyselam Koyim, you'll have to go and return it to its original place. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. If you're allowing me lechatchila to go and have the hens placed on top of their eggs so that the eggs would eventually hatch, certainly if one of the tanagoylim ran away, you're certainly allowed to go and put the tanagoylis back, capture the hen, and put it back on. The Gemara is going to ask that question in another moment. The Mesa, what happens if unfortunately the tanagoylis never passed away, expired? You're allowed to even go and take a replacement, a substitute, to go and sit on the eggs, to warm the eggs up. Fine. We finished talking about the hens, and now we're talking about other types of animals. We're going from fowl to animals. Gorvin mitachas ragle behema biyadalit, ubemoyed mesalkin litzdot. You have the animals out there in the courtyard, in the fields, and the animal is producing a lot of schmutz, a lot of soya. Now that's great for the fields. The fields can go and use as much fertilizer as possible. But in the chutz, in the courtyard, I want to walk in my courtyard, and it's going to get very schmutzig. So what do you do? Gorfin, we have grufu k'tuma, we have that in the Sechbe Shabbos, means to go and sweep it out. So you're allowed to sweep up all of this soya on your dalid, but what can you do? You can go and do it litzidod. So gorfin mitach zeragli behema biyadalid, ubimoyed misalkin litzidod. What's the difference between the gorfin mitach zeragli behema on your dalid? And the Moid Misalkel at Stodim, we'll see in Me'at Shem the Gemara that the Grifa on Yedalad, once again, because Yedalad is much more Kal than Chol HaMoed, so therefore you're even allowed to not only sweep it up, but also put it into the dustbin and remove it. And the Gemara says, like throwing it into the Ashpa, into the garbage dump. However, in Chol HaMoed, you're not going to go that far. After all, Chol HaMoed is supposed to be Yom Tovik. Misalkel at Stodim, so go and sweep it to the side of the Chotzer, so people can walk through the chutz without getting the shoes dirty, etc. But don't remove it, just move it to the side.
Don't we have a principle on Shabbos, you have a graf shalrei that you can remove entirely? So why is more strict here in a chutz here? People have to walk in the chutz here. It's like a graf shalrei in a bias, isn't it?
I'm assuming that the answer is that the bias you have to live because that's where you live. And if you have a graf shalrei, it makes living totally unbearable, intolerable. As far as the chutz is concerned, so I won't go for a stroll. I have to leave my shul, my house to get a shul, so I'll go to the right, go to the left, or use the backyard, or use the front, some other way that he shouldn't have to get involved with it. Anyway, you're allowed to go and take kelim. Like, for instance, the cleaners, you're allowed to go and take your kelim on Erev Yom Tov. You're allowed to bring it back from the Beis Uman. Even those types of things which you don't need. In other words, you have a weekday suit, right, which you're not going to use. Oh, you take it to dry cleaners. I don't need it the whole Yom Tov. But I can take it there on Yudalit, or for that matter, I can bring it back on Yudal the Beis Uman, even though it's not Netzer Chamoyed, because what am I doing? I'm just schlepping. I'm schlepping it here, I'm schlepping it back. No problem. But we'll see in the Gemara that it's not so simple, and it might in fact be problematic. We go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that you're allowed to go and place a hen on top of the eggs, so that the eggs will hopefully become incubated, and they will eventually hatch. And not only that, but if the tiny goes, Shabaruch, if it ran away, you can also return it to its makom. Frag the Gemara. Hashta usuve musvinan adure mi boye. Once you tell me lechatchila, you're allowed to go and take the hen on Erev Yom Tov, even in those places where the minhag was not to do work, but you're allowed to go and put the hens down. So if one of the hens decided to make a plate, of course you can go and return it to its roost, to its chicken coop, or wherever. So what's the chiddush? Om Rabbi Yosef Asol Lechol Shulmai. Oh, in fact, we have to split up the case in the beginning of the Mishnah. Moishim in Shoyf Chalatana Goylem B'Yudale, that's on Erev Yom Tov. Don't do that on Yom Tov. Don't do that on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is much more chomor than Erev Yom Tov. Don't do that. However, if on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed the Tana Goylis at Kemachta Pleita, then you're allowed to return the Tana Goylis on Chol HaMoed. And that makes a lot of sense in terms of the construction of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't say Moishim in Shoyf Chalatana Goylem, but rather it's in Mashim Shabbat Biyodalit. When? No, probably also Biyodalit. So why does Yodalit come there now? Oh, Cholam Moyed. Yodalit, you can go and do Moishiv, a brand new setting of the hens. However, the hen runs away, then Machzin Oyslam Koima, you can return it on Cholam Moyed. That's what Abayi says. Abayi Seifa Son Chol Shomayit. Am Ravuna, Loishanu, that we say that you're allowed to go and return the hen to its place. Ella, there have to be two conditions. Condition number one, Loishanu Ella Toich Shloisha Lemorda. The term Morda, of course, is a very strong term. It means it's rebellion. The hen says, "Why do I always have to sit on these eggs? Come on, these lousy eggs! I want to do something else in life. I want to be the chief financial officer of a big corporation. I want to be a president. I want to be a politician. I want to be a grosser knacker. I don't want to sit here." So if it's toich shloisha l'morda, then you're allowed to go and return it on Chol HaMoed. The word simra over here means the heat that is generated by sitting on these eggs that has not gone away, has not dissipated, and therefore if I quickly take back the hen within the first 3 days and put it down, it will still be effective to go and incubate and cause these little eggs to hatch into full blown chicks. The achash loisha, and therefore, what is the implication? That if it's already beyond 3 days lemorda, if it's already the fourth or fifth day after the hen had already left its roost, then you cannot go and return it anymore on Chol HaMoed, because it's going to be totally ineffective. So you're just basically playing with something which is muktza. It's not going to accomplish anything, because parach tzimra. Now, there's a second condition. The achash loisha lishivasa, that is talking about that the hen already had sat on the eggs for 3 days. The postula bei legamri, because at this point, after 3 days, it's not going to hatch yet. It's still early in the incubation process. However, if you wanted to go and make some scrambled eggs for breakfast, if you would go and cut open those eggs, you would see shemenishka eggs. It's already developing slowly into chicks. We're not there yet. It's into an afreich. We're not there yet, but it's already al haderech. So therefore, this halacha that you're allowed to go and return the tarnagoilis to its eggs, you have two conditions. Number one, it's got to be that it's within the 3 days of its running away. It made a plata yesterday, 2 days ago, but not a week ago. It's got to be within 3 days. As well as that it already sat 3 days on the eggs, so then it would be a shame not to go and restore the Tarnagoilis to its place, because these are finished in terms of eggs, unless you're going to go and make these into chicks. Because for eggs, for breakfast,
it's too late.
Possibly be the gun. Avol, li'achash lo'ishel morda, like we just said, the baruch letzim we know that heat has already cooled off, it's dissipated, so therefore these eggs are not going to go and hatch anymore, they're not going to incubate anymore. But toch shloish l'shivasa, within the first 3 days of its yeshiva, of sitting on the eggs, dakati li'psedi bei legamri, the bayim have not been totally destroyed yet, they're in the process of becoming incubated and eventually becoming chicks, but we're not there yet. Is loy madrid, and then you cannot go and return it to its roost within the first 3 days.
Because they're still stable as eggs?
You could still use them as eggs, exactly. As Rabami it says now, Rabami Omra, madrinan. Even within the first 3 days, you can also put the hen back. What's the machloikis? Yes or no? Mike Miffy. Marsav lehefsin maruba choshu lehefsin muat loy choshu. Marsav lehefsin muat nami choshu. What does that mean? It means that if you have your eggs, and your eggs are within the 3 days that the hen has been sitting on the eggs. So if you crack open the eggshells, presumably you're going to go and find that half of the egg is already starting to develop, and the other half of the egg is probably still loose, okay. Like you're a loose liquid egg, like you're normally used to. Ah, okay. So if you are able to go and still use these eggs, I can't use the eggs in their entirety. Yeah. I can only use 50% of the egg, or 25%, because most of it has already started forming and developing into a chick. Ah, so that's already a hefset. It's not a big hefset, but it is a hefset, because I can still use half of the egg, a quarter of the egg, a hefset there is. So that's what we call a hefset muat. So according to one man, the Yamar, a filetosh loisha says, Rabbani filetosh loisha, lishivasa madrina, put the hen back, because otherwise you're losing half of the egg. If you're going to go and use scrambled eggs, half of it you're going to have to throw out. So forget about it, put the hen back to develop into chicks, and then you'll have chicks in another week or two, and after Shaman, that'll be much better.
It's going to have a blood spot. It's going to
Can you even use that? The leftover, the non-developed.
Very good question. So maybe it doesn't. Maybe you can. Listen, try it out at home. Take a hen, take an egg, see what happens after 2 days. What it looks like was then. Apparently, it's not a chick that would postulate it, and that you would say, "Oh, it's already an availer," or it's a bus of a cholov or anything like that. Apparently, again, I'm not familiar sufficiently with incubating eggs, but at least you get the idea that according to everybody, within the first 3 days, it's no longer that fresh egg that it was 3 days ago, and therefore you cannot just simply go and fry it or cook it or whatever. If you wanted to do that, you could presumably salvage part of the egg, but the other part of the egg, no. So you're going to have now a hefset muat. So according to one of the, if you have a hefset muat, don't crack open the eggs, don't lose them. Rather go and put the hen on it, so it'll have a full-fledged egg. Well, the other man, you said, no. Yeah, okay. You'll crack it open, you lose part of the egg, but it's no great, great loss, so therefore, you're able to go and use it. Rashi uses the expression, moichen bezol lemishadata yofa. Right. The previous Rashi says, hoyo v'nishtanu tzas, v'ein re'uy l'chol odam elemishadata yofa. In other words, you open up the egg, normally you see it's nice and yellow in the middle, it's white on the outside. Presumably after 2.5 days it's already cloudy, it's already starting to look a little bit dark. Doesn't yet look like it's developing, but okay, anyway, you can get an idea of what this is all about.
Dati Yofa is an ironic term?
Dati Yofa is an expression. Morris says elsewhere that the Kahanim, there was some Kahanim that would go and eat the Basar Kodshim, even if it was raw, the mishadata yofa. For those that they were not finicky about what they're eating. So it doesn't have to be that it's a euphemistic term. It could also be a complimentary term. That yofa means that they only worry about the big questions: should the president be impeached? Not be impeached. Raw meat, it's narishkeit, and that's the synthetic. So the dati yofa, they have a better intelligence,
larger concerns,
greater concerns. Good. Okay, anyway, continue on the Gemara. Sigor from Mitachas. We said that you're allowed to go and sweep up under the animal. Tanarabon. Hazavish bechotim besalkan oisle stodim. Shirevish bechotim oisin oisle ashpo. So the Braisa says if you have zevel, you have the soya, the from the excrement from the animals, shemachatzer, misalka tzedav, you can go and brush it, you can go and sweep it to the side. Shebarefis, in the shtal, or shebachatzer, again the chatzer, moitzino islaash, we even let it go and remove it, cart it off to the garbage dump. Freitimora, I have a stira now, chatzer and chatzer. Hagufakash, am zevel shebachatzer, misalka tzedav, to the side. But the 20 shebarefis, shebachatzer, moitzino islaash, make up your mind. Amrabai lekasha can be yedalid, can be choyle shel moed. The nafkimin is between you talking about yedalid or you talking about chalamoid. Meaning, once again, chalamoid is the higher level of kedusha, so all you can do is just sweep it to the side. Don't remove it, just push it to the side. Yedalid, which is already before yontiv, there you're allowed to go and actually cart it off and put it in the ashba. And the choyle, that's the pshat in our Mishnah as well. In the Mishnah it says, gorf mitachas rag the behemah be yedalid. So how is Yudalid different than Moyid? Because Moyid is only Misalkal Tzedavim, put on the side. But in the first case, but Yudalid, Gorfi, you've got to sweep it up, put it into the dustbin, put it in the shovel, take it to the Ashba, take it away, and get rid of it. That's the first Teretz of the Gemara. So if the Gemara, Rav Amar, Hava, B'Chalash Moyid. This price is talking about both in Chalash Moyid. Vachi Kamar, and the Pshat is Azeh. Im Nasa Chotze Kir Refes, might see an oisali ashpa. In other words, when did I say you can go and do litzadodim? When there's still plenty of room to maneuver in terms of walking and using your chotzer. If you're able to just sweep it to the side and that does the trick, that's all. But what happens if your chotzer has been so inundated with the zevel that you can't even maneuver, you can't walk anywhere? Even if you were to brush it to the side, sweep it to the side, it's still full of the zevel.
You have no choice.
You have no choice, and therefore, until it's ashba, you're allowed to take it to ashba after all. You're allowed to take and bring to the, for instance, the cleaners, those kelim on Erev Yontif, and the Mishnah said, even if you don't need a b'chalam, for the moed for Yontif. Omer HaPapa, Bodik Lon Rava, Rava tested us. Tonight, we learned in the Mishnah, Moedichin, that was the lashon of our Mishnah. Freik the Gemara, freik the Yetzirah to the Talmidim. Or in the middle, I'll ask you a kasha. You're not allowed to go and bring back the kelim beis uman. Here it says you're mevi'im, and here it says ein mevi'im. Chastira. We continue the brisa. Then choishish lehen. If he's nervous, what is he nervous? Shemi yiganvu. Maybe they'll be stolen during yontif or something like that. Mefan lechotzer acheres. What can you do instead of taking them all the way home? After all, you want to do a shtikl shinoi, according to this price, that ain't mevi and kevin, can't bring it home. Okay, so you go and find another chotzer which is well protected, where you're not worried, and you go and put the kevin there, but don't bring him all the way home. Is the chastira. Our Mishnah says, mevichin and mevin. And the other one says, ain't mevin, or mashanin, and we answered, loy kasha. Kan baba osa, kan bachodesh amoyin. Like we had before, like Abayi said before in the previous kasha, that what? On Arba Osor, you'll have to be Moilich Umevi. But Cholamoyed, Ein Mevi and Kelim. You can't go and bring that. Cholamoyed, after all, it's Yomtev, it's Ashikli Yomtev. The store should be closed, your tailor should be closed, your cleaners. But the bottom line is, Cholamoyed, don't go and bring it home, Ein Mevi. If he's worried about Kenevis, then he has a Heter, a Shinoim, at the Chotzer Achers. Do I trust the guy or not? If I trust him, then leave it there. Why should I take it home during Yom Tov, during Cholamoid? If I don't trust him, who knows what's going to happen? Oh, I want to make sure I get it back. I can go and take it back Cholamoid. Rashi said there are two possible lack of trust. One is that maybe he's going to go and take this suit which he just pressed for you in the cleaners, and he's going to sell it. And therefore, you're going to come back. What's what you're talking about? I don't know. So he's going to make money. Another thing is that if you're going to go and pay him now on Cholamoid, and you're only going to go and take delivery after Yom Tov, oh, maybe he's going to ask for his schar a second time. He's going to say, you're paying me now? You didn't pay me. Well, show me, where's your receipt? Did it up? He's going to charge him a second time. So therefore, if you're paying him Cholamoid to do the guy a favor, and you're not taking delivery, because you're worried about that he's not trustworthy, then im choishish, if he's worried about einam aminoi, then he can go and take it. Don't take it all the way home. Make ashtik l'shinoi and put it in the chotzer hamishtameris, not far from you. Frank Dimor Vatanya, I have another brisa. Mevien kelim mi beis uman. You're allowed to go and bring the kelim from the beis uman. Keep going. Hakad mi beis hakader. The kad is like a chovius, is a barrel from the barrel maker. Vakois mi beis hazgag. You're allowed to go and take a glass from the glazier, the person who's making glass. But not the tzemer from the beis tzava and the kelim beis uman. And Rashi says that the reason is because the first cases are the tzerich hamoyed, and the tzemer and the kelim beis uman are not the tzerich hamoyed. After all, you just bring back the tzemer beis tzava. You still have to make a garment out of it. The kelim beis uman, those type of kelim which you don't need for yomtiv, those don't go and bring back. So maybe in the kelim that you need, but not those you don't need. In ein loy mayoichal, what happens if the craftsman unfortunately has no food? In other words, he's never desperate for parnasa. Let him go and pay him, and leave the goods with him, and he'll pick it up after yatav. However, what happens if he doesn't trust him? Like we said before, don't take it all the way home. Pay the guy, but pick up the goods and put it in a close by house. Don't bring it to your own home. V'im choishishem yigon, if you're worried that maybe it's going to get stolen, mevi'im betzina betoich beisoy. You can go and bring it betzina. In other words, when nobody's looking at night, when it's quiet, you're worried about a gedeva, and then you can go and bring it home. So what do we see from this price? And now I started off by saying v'atani the more asked the kasha. I made a mistake. V'atani means b'nichusa. I have a raya from this price. What raya do I have from the price? I have a raya from the price. This is the difference between ma'minoi and she'ena ma'minoi. So what did we say at the end of the price? Leave it there. That's the case with ma'minoi, that he trusts him, that he's going to give it back to him after yontif, and he's not going to charge him a second charge. But if he doesn't trust him, then take it away from the tailor or take it away from the craftsman and put it by a samachlai. Oh, so you see that there's a clear distinction between the mamina and ena mamina is vatanya takaraya to this teretz. But the Gemara has another kasha on this teretz. What's the kasha? Tirats the mevian. The mevian you answer nicely, meaning I have the Mishnah and I have the Braisa. In our Mishnah it said Meivien u'meilichen. Actually, it said meilichen u'meivien. Kelim beis uman. So it said meilichen meivien. The Braisa said ein meivien, and that was Rava's kasha when he was testing Rapapa and the Talmidim. Okay, so I have a stira. What answer did you give? Mm-hmm. You answered his mamina. You mean ain't a mamina? Preitimara. So how are you understanding our Mishnah when it says in the Mishnah meivien that you're allowed to take it home? That means because you're einoi maminoi. You don't trust the guy. If you don't trust the guy, why did it say in the Mishnah, the Moilichen, that you go and send him Kalim? If you don't trust him, you shouldn't be sending him Kalim on Erev Yontif or on Chol HaMoed. Because what's going to happen? You're going to come back a couple of days later after Yontif. The Einanu, he sold them. He's going to charge you again. So, Aybazoi, that doesn't work. Back to our Gemara. Teratzta Mevian. You gave a nice teretz on here it says Mevian and here it says Ein Mevian. Good gamfit. A Malichan Kasha. Malichan is Shver. Diktani, it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Braisa, Ein Mevian. You now let it go and bring home the Kalim from the Uman on either Yadalit, Tesvav, depending on how you learn. You can't bring it back. The Kolshke, if you can't go and bring it back, certainly Ein Malichan, you now let it go and bring a new work on Chol HaMoed, wait until after Yontif. So in Bazoi, here it says implicitly, Ein Moilichen. In our Mishnah it says implicitly, not explicitly, it says Moilichen. So I have to steer Moilichen and Moilichen. So Kimono Machvarti and Shin Meikaris, you're 100% right. We're going to put away the teretz of the Maminoi and Ein Maminoi. We're going to come back to the earlier teretz. Kan Barba Osir, Kan Bachoyle Shomoy. Choyle Shomoy Itaka. Ein Meivin Kenan Beisomat. It's Chol HaMoed. Go and daven more, learn more, but don't. And wait until after Yontif. Barba Asar, on Erev Yontif, you need those Kalim, or even if you don't need them, on Yadalit, then it's permissible to be maybe Kalim based on, because you're not doing anything, you're just transporting them home. With this, we'll conclude the Gemara today. And in Yer Hashem, Rabbi said we're going to have a special Shir Matzah Shabbos at 9 o'clock by Zoom to be able to learn tomorrow's Blatt. And then Sunday morning, Yer Hashem, we're going to continue on. to Daf Nun Zayin. We'll probably start Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of Nun Vav on the base. Unfortunately, there is no recording from the previous Machzor, so if you'd like to go and listen to it live, please participate 9 o'clock Motzei Shabbos. And if you want to listen to it on a recording, Mirz Hashem, it'll be recorded, and you'll be able to get it probably by 10:30 or so. Matzah Shabbos. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Rabbi says, "Zagi ben Zagi zin kol tovat slochom." Thank you for staying the whole time.
Do you want to take the other machine?
Thank you very much for this year.
My pleasure. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening. Have a good Shabbos.